Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and once again, as the minute waltz fades away, it is my pleasure to introduce the four exciting and provocative and difficult panelists who are going to play Just a Minute this week. Well, we have three of our regulars, and the chuckles from my audience might indicate to you that Kenneth Williams is, of course, back. He's never away, actually. We have Chairman Freud and Derek Nimmo. And we welcome in the fourth chair our guest chair, someone who's never played the game before, a most distinguished broadcaster and most talented man. Would you... Richard Merker, I almost forgot to mention his name. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me, Ian Messiter, the creator of the game, who not only keeps the time, but also blows his whistle when the full 60 seconds are up. And also, I have in front of me all the different subjects. And I'm going to ask each competitor or panelist in turn to speak, if they can, without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Let us begin the show this week with Clement Freud. And our audience are laughing because already Kenneth Williams is in the mood of the show. Clement, the subject is nappies. Seems... a good sort of basic subject to start with. And will you tell us something about that in just a minute, beginning now?
It would not be difficult to exhaust nappies in 1 minute. Nappies are, in fact, usually white squares of material or paper which are put around the lower body of a baby for the express purpose of collecting urine or excretia which might otherwise stain the carpet or make ugly messes upon the floor. In under five boxing, the seconds are known to throw in the nappies rather than the towel to signify that it is the end of a contest. I believe that nappies at the moment have lost some of the vogue which they had when my children were born, because you now have nappy services which are made of some new material, not the sort of stuff it used to be.
Dickie Murdoch has challenged.
Well, he said stuff rather than lot.
Well, actually, there's so much laughter in the audience, I couldn't hear half of what he said.
Well, I can tell you he did.
Yes, he did, actually, because he talked about what the baby's past and referred to that as stuff. Yes, well, yes, quite right. So, Dickie, Richard Murdoch, do you want me to call you Richard or Dickie?
I don't mind, stinker.
As long as I speak to you, you don't really mind. What a good idea.
Yes.
Richard, there are 10 seconds left. You have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of nappies with 10 seconds to go, starting now.
Nappies are sometimes disposable things, which when you have used them, or when your babies have used them, they can be thrown.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Yes. Use them.
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid, yes.
You're quite right.
Correct, quite right, yes. So, Derek, you've got a correct challenge, a point for that, and there's only 2 seconds to go on nappies, starting now.
Disposable nappies are the great inventions of the wheel.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains the extra point, and of course on this occasion it was Derek Nimmo, so he is in the lead at the end of the first round. Derek, would you take the second round? The subject is space. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Space is a continuous, boundless expanse going in all directions in an infinite way. So if you travel into it, you will never get to the end of space. The concept of space, to me, is almost terrifying. Living in a world which I know has an end, and being a person that will finish one day, I cannot totally conceive the idea of absolute space. Sometimes, lying awake on my pillow at night, I begin to dream of space, and I'm filled with a sort of nightmare because I cannot continually go on worrying about it, and there's nobody there to help me, and I get spaced out, which is another use of the word space. And then, on a Tuesday in July, I get onto a bird, and up in the heavens I go, grabbing a parachute and dropping down on an umbrella, and there the space with lands on the ground.
Well, you certainly have everything in just a minute. There was Derry giving us pathos interesting thoughts, fantasy, and also fact. And Kenneth Williams, will you take the next round? Kenneth, the subject is hiccups. Can you tell us something about hiccups in just a minute, starting now?
Hiccups can always be cured if you put the agoraphobic creature into space. And, of course, this is why Nicholas Parsons loves space. Most of it's between his ears, as you know.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Just a repetition of space, but I'm sorry I interrupted. I want
to... Oh, aren't they wicked? So they interrupted. There we are. But to show you, yes, it was a repetition of space anyway. I'd have given it against him anyway after what he just said. Clement, you have the subject of hiccups, and there are 50 and a half seconds going, starting now.
It is a very odd thing, but I am able to cure hiccups absolutely permanently, irrespective of who has them. Sometimes people telephone me and say, I have got hiccups, will you help? And it's jolly difficult to do over the wire. But face to looking at somebody else, I'm actually able to make them better.
Derek Limmer challenge.
I'm able. Yes, I'm afraid that there was a couple of...
You said you were able before to cure hiccups. You will be able again. So Derek listened well, got in with 29 seconds on hiccups, starting now.
An involuntary closure of the diaphragm, and so the glottis, at the moment of breathing, produces this curious noise, which is a hic and then a cup, which you cannot always cure very easily indeed. And if only Mr. Clement Freud, or Sir, as we have to call him now, I'm so sorry, then had been there to visit the late Pope when he was stricken down in the Vatican for over 3 weeks, hiccuping every day and all night with nuns praying around him.
Well, Derek Mimo really is putting style and panache into this edition, has gained more points than that round, and has increased his lead again. Richard Murdoch, will you take the next round? The subject is greens. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Greens, there are many kinds of greens. There are, of course, human greens, such as Graham Green, Huey Green, and there are those things you put on golf courses. Now, the greens on my golf course are beautifully smooth and true. You never see such a thing as a worm cast, which does tend to deviate the ball when you're trying to put it into the hole. And the greener the grass, the nicer it is to play on, because I am very fond of golf, and I play quite a lot of it, and it's not always that I can get onto the green in three shots, you see. Sometimes I get onto the green, and I have been known to take only three putts. Once I actually took two putts, and that was a... I rather repeated the word putt, haven't I? So I'll...
And Jack Richard! Richard Murdoch, you... So, Richard Murdoch, you challenged yourself.
Yes. Well, it was a bit boring, wasn't it?
I think that was very enterprising. So you were obviously challenging for hesitation, repetition, and deviation. So give him 3 points. And you keep going if you can with 2.5 seconds left on green, starting now.
Hesitation. Like that
sorry, he challenged you.
Oh, actually.
Yeah. You didn't start quick enough, I'm afraid.
Oh, I didn't, right.
But actually, as in that round you made so many other mistakes, I don't see why on earth I should give that one against you. Give that one to him as well. So, Dickie, you've got 1.5 seconds now on green, starting now.
Greens are all...
I do feel that as he started with the subject, he should have finished with it as well, yes.
Thank you very much.
And you've got an extra point, actually, for speaking as the whistle went, and with no help from the chairman, of course. You won a tremendous number of points in that round, Dickie.
They've been at it for 21 years. I've only been at it for 3 minutes.
I know. But you're equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo. Fantastic. Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject is odd facts. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
An odd fact is the expression red herring, which derives from the fact that in years gone by, they used to drag across the countryside some of this stinking fish to put the hounds off the scent, and therefore they couldn't catch the fox. This could be used by the anti-blood sports people today. Another odd fact, perhaps, would be the expression, tell it to the Marines. Now, this arose because during the reign of King Charles II, a mariner returning from the Antipodes or some such place discovered a flying fish, told it to his monarch, and he would not believe the fellow until he summoned in front of him one of these gallant soldiers that serve on the sea. And he verified that he had seen this particular kind of aquatic monster.
Well, an apt person to take odd facts, Derek Nimmo, kept going with the subject from start to finish.
Actually, I could have been challenged. I said the Antipodes, and they hadn't been discovered in 1680.
That got a very marvellous reaction from the audience. Obviously deeply impressed with your historical knowledge. But, Derek, you began with the subject, you finished as the whistle went, a point for speaking as the whistle went, a bonus point for not being interrupted, 2 points at the end of that round. You're 2 points ahead of Richard Murdoch, who is in second place, but now in third place is Clement Freud, 2 points behind. And Kenneth Williams is in fourth place, but Kenneth takes the next round, and the subject is faux pas. Will you tell us something I'm sure you've never been guilty of, Kenneth? But will you talk on it, starting now?
Well, faux pas is a French expression, faux, meaning erroneous, pas as in pace, so a wrong step. We can all make such errors. A lady wrote about me on this program, saying après moi la déluge instead of le. Well, I wrote back and said to her, Dr. Johnson, faced with the same problem apropos the definition of pastern, was asked by an inquirer, how come you got it wrong? And he said, ignorance, ma'am, pure, and then repeated that word. Best thing to do when you commit the faux pas is to own up and say, well, yes, all right, I made a mistake, a man who never... No.
Yes, once again, an edition of Just a Minute to Treasure, because in quick succession we've had two of our regular panellists take a subject and finish with a subject without being interrupted. And Kenneth did it in great style on faux pas, a point for speaking as the whistle went, a point for not being interrupted. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject is air stewardesses. Will you tell us something about those in this... Why do you laugh? You've obviously got experiences with air stewardesses, which you should keep to yourselves. Clement, will you talk on that subject starting now?
I found over the years that air stewardesses, who used to be ravishingly beautiful ladies, have become increasingly plain and ordinary. And this could be because my eyesight is failing due to the age, or possibly because airlines are now more in favour of efficiency than they are of beauty. Air stewardess is actually an erroneous appellation because the air is not stewarded by these ladies. It is an airline.
Derek Nimmo, challenge. Yes, that is right. You talked about these lovely ladies right at the start. So Derek has a correct challenge, and there are 30 seconds on air stewardesses, Derek, starting now.
Well, if he hasn't seen lovely air hostess, he's obviously been travelling on the wrong airline, because if he went on Thai International or Singapore Airline, he would see the most...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Repetition of airline.
Yes.
No, he said airline first, and the second time he said airlines.
Yes, he said Thai airline and Singapore Airlines. That's right.
Yes, he did. Plural, second time.
Thank you, Kenneth. If you listed so well. We'll have to do what we did some years ago when we all changed around and I went on the panel for a couple of weeks and you took over and it was disaster. Derek, you have another point and 20 seconds on air stewardesses starting now.
Mind you, if you do fly with Pan American, they look as though they start again in the air with the Wright brothers. So elderly are they and decrepit. There's one wonderful one who works for the British plane company, whose name I can't say, because I have to repeat one of those things that aren't on the card. But she is known as Tugboat Annie to all her chums, and she goes around and she talks to everybody and she...
So, Derek Nimmo speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, of course, and other points in the round, and he has now taken the lead again. And, Derek Nimmo, it's also your turn to begin. And the subject now is Rio. Will you tell us something about that in this game starting now?
I have a friend who's a carnival queen in Rio. Her name is Linda Conde, and she is what is known as a Juno-esque figure. She was a Danish film star before she went over to live in Brazil. And every year, she is hoisted on a crane onto the back of a lorry, covered in feathers, and she has behind her a samba troupe, 20,000 strong. Maybe that's a slight exaggeration. Perhaps only one should divide it by 10. But there are vast numbers that follow this wonderful person in Rio de Janeiro. And it, of course, takes place on Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the great...
Richard Murdoch has challenged.
Boredom.
You wait till it's your turn again. My buzz will be a quiver then.
Well, it was getting a bit tedious.
It was an extremely good challenge, Richard. Yes, definitely. And beautifully timed as well.
Yeah.
Give him a bonus point because I enjoyed it. Yes. But he also hesitated. I thought that's what you were going to challenge him for.
Yes, that's as well.
Yeah, well, of course, yes. And as your old guest, you're allowed a second attempt. So, no, don't give him 2 points. No, but just give him the subject. Give me 1 point. That's enough, Ian. Right, so, the hesitation, you take over the subject, and you have 20... Oh, no, he does get another point. That's nice, 2 points. 23 seconds on Rio, Richard, starting now.
Rio reminds me of that wonderful song that Peter Dawson used to sing. It was all about, I've never seen a jaguar, nor yet an armadillo. And it was all about how he rolled down to Rio.
Can I call a challenge?
Two all abouts.
Yes, it was. There were two all abouts. I'm sorry,
yes,
Richard. Yes, so...
The gloves are off now.
You can't be over-generous, but I am on occasions, I know. 12 seconds for you, Clement, on Rio, starting now.
Derek Nimmo, who knows a lot about travel, told me that you get to Rio on a Greyhound bus, which you board in...
Derek Nimmo, challenge.
Deviation, I didn't.
It's not deviation.
Why is it a deviation, then?
Because I was keeping to the subject. I didn't repeat myself. I didn't hesitate.
But you said that Derek Nimmo told you that, and Derek said he didn't.
You can
tell
that. Lies in this program.
Clement, you continue. There's 5 seconds on Rio starting now.
There are an awful lot of juvenile pickpockets in Rio de Janeiro, and you have notices as you arrive.
Well, at the end of that round, Richard Murdoch is still in the lead alongside Derek Nimmo. Clement Foy trails a little. Kenneth Williams trails more than a little. But Kenneth begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is gold. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Gold, you can get it from the earth. You go down the mine and dig away and do come up with it. Other people find it in rivers, and they have these little pans, and they sit on these haunches and get it that way. But, of course, it's a very rare mineral, and if you get one with the stamp of, say, you know, George II, something like that, then, of course, it's worth a lot more. Or 18 carat 22, that's very useful. Women love it. I don't know why. They always want gold and diamonds. They love gold with diamonds in it.
Two diamonds.
Too many diamonds. Yes, you were getting a bit bogged down there, Kenneth. So Clement came to your rescue. He gained another point, and he takes over the subject, and there are 17 seconds on gold. Clement, starting now.
I'm always rather pleased to see a hallmark on a lump of gold, because it not only shows that it's genuine, but if you've read the book, you can tell what year it was minted in and where it was assayed, And also, if you look with care, you can gauge the weight.
So Clement Freud moved forward with more points in that round. He's only one behind our joint leaders, Derek Nimmo and Richard Murdoch. Kenneth Williams trails. Richard Murdoch begins the next round. Dickie, the subject is fun and games. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Fun and games. You can have fun without games, and you can have games without fun. But if you have the two together, it's absolutely hilarious. When I was a small boy, we used to have tea parties, and afterwards we would go into the drawing room and we would play what were known as parlour games. There was charades, there was sardines, postman's knock, which of course I have played later.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Did they have postman when he was a boy?
Oh. Who invented the post?
You see what happens, Richard, in this game. It doesn't matter who you are, even if you're a guest the first time on. There's no quarter given. They're in there with their knives, aren't they? And the audience reaction showed you what they thought of Clement's challenge. In fact, it was rather strange. They laughed first, and then they booed him. So he got everything. But that's what Just a Minute's all about. So that was an incorrect challenge, Richard, and you've taken the lead. And you continue with fun and games with 35 seconds left, starting now.
The parlour games. I was mentioning...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
The tradition of parlour games.
You mentioned the parlour before.
Well,
you...
I thought... Yes,
yes, but if you've been challenged, you can't mention it again.
No, all right.
Right, so, Derek, you got in with fun and games. No, you got in on the subject of fun and games, and there are 33 seconds left, starting now.
I awfully like postman's knock, because I stand outside the door and bang on it, and in I would go...
Richard Murdoch challenged.
Well, I said postman's knock, and
yes,
he
but
said
Richard,
it again.
Yeah, but he's allowed to say it. You see...
You don't have the exclusive rights.
Well, if those are the rules, I'll stand corrected.
No, those are the rules.
Yes,
I mean,
okay.
He could actually repeat every single word you said if his memory was good enough.
Well, I'll unbuzz.
No. So, there we are. Derek, you continue with fun and games, and there are 27 seconds starting now.
I do like to be beside the seaside, because it's there that I have the utmost fun and enjoy wonderful games, particularly on the beach, playing cricket, tennis, volleyball, and then dashing into the waves and diving through the seahorses and gathering up shells and nuts that float onto the shores from adjacent palm trees, and then the fun really begins.
So before Derek got on to those other fun and games after he came out of the sea, the whistle went, and he's taken the lead at the end of that round, closely followed by Richard Murdoch and Clement Freud in that order. And Clement Freud, it is your turn to begin. Clement, the subject is ants. Could you tell us something about those little creatures in this game, starting now?
Ants are small creatures and are quite extraordinarily busy. Robert Morley, many years ago, came one Christmas with a box in which there were thousands of ants working away. And as the present was wrapped, he said to me, "If you can guess the contents of this, I will give you £10,000. And we sat down, I opposite him, trying to win this huge sum of money, and opined variously as to the content of what was in the paper which was surrounding the appliance containing the ants. And I was unable to get it unwrapped and found this amazing workload of industrious mini animals with a queen laying eggs, giving messages, sending posts from one place to another. And it was the most charming and imaginative gift that anyone has given me."
Clement Freud took ants, kept going with great dexterity and verbal ingenuity and wit to the full 60 seconds, gains a point for speaking as a whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. We have no more time to play Just a Minute this week, so let me give you the final score. Well, it was a very tightly fought contest. Kenneth Williams finished in fourth place Out there, much ahead of Kenneth, was Richard Murdoch, equal, alongside Clement Freud, our guest, who's never played the game before, and they were only 1 point behind the man who must be judged our winner this week, Derek Nimmo. We do hope you've enjoyed listening to this edition of our game. And on behalf of our four panellists, my four delightful guests, and also Ian Messiter, who created and devised the game, our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much for being with us to the end. And we hope that you want to tune in again next time we take to the air and we play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.